Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 123 of Constructed Criticism. I'm your host, Spencer, and I am joined by my co-hosts, Casey Bloodworth.
Hey, how's it going?
And Manny, the fantasy sports savant.
Gotta go to Kmart. Hi, guys.
There's lots of queens in the deck.
Yeah. You took my 10.
It was a queen. He took his queen, and then two more queens came off the top. I just watched that scene.
Oh, did you?
It was. I posted it. Tagged you in it.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
How's it going, guys? Pro Tour week, Super Bowl week. You guys have a good weekend?
Very good weekend.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I shot guns on Saturday.
Okay.
And then I went to work, did a bunch of work. Then on Sunday, it's a lot more work. And I came here.
So you went to work after shooting guns?
No, that was on Saturday. Sunday I went to work. You know, before I came to the
Super Bowl
party.
So you went to work twice on Sunday?
Saturday and Sunday.
The way that you said you shot guns, then went to work, then on Sunday.
So I did. I worked Saturday and Sunday. I've worked like a lot of straight days.
Right. So did you shoot guns before or after work?
I mean during. What do you think I do?
Okay. All right, now we know. You know, you can't shoot guns at Oasis Games, but you can buy Magic cards there. You can check them out at oasisgamesslc.com. You get 15% off of your first order by using the code CCMTG at checkout. That's CCMTG. You can get 5% off of every order by using the code WouldThatBeGood at checkout. That's WouldThatBeGood, no spaces. You can also support this podcast directly by going to patreon.com/ccmtg and become a patron of the show. New shout out to new patron Cody C, who's the newest member of that group that's supporting us. It's starting at $1, and Cody, you know, we appreciate everything we get. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Everybody thank you. Who does anything to support the cast, we really do appreciate it. So, you know, you can come to patreon.com/ccmtg. You can set it up for any amount you want. You can stop it at any time. You know, it's not you're not contracted for life to give us, you know, $20 every month or $1 every month. It's just whenever you can afford it. And, if you feel like you're getting something from the show is about hashtag always improving. This week, we're going to be talking about the Pro Tour, our thoughts about it, what we learned, things like that. Before we get into that, we're going to talk about hashtag always improving. Casey, what is hashtag always improving?
Well, it's just something to keep in mind as you are progressing in Magic. You know, what are you doing to improve this week? Because if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. So how do you, you know, keep like a shark and keep swimming and getting better? And it's just a way to note the ways that you're doing that.
Yeah, so this week, let's start with, who do we have written down first? Oh, me. So this week, I'm kind of looking outside of Magic. And last week, I was looking a little bit outside of Magic to join that, to be hashtag always improving. So one of the things that I'm going to be doing starting actually tomorrow is my wife and I will be working out 5 days a week together. So it's really exciting. Changing my sleep schedule slightly, being a little bit more strict on my bedtime, but only waking up about 30 minutes earlier than normal, but getting in like a good workout every day. And also just like better managing my time is kind of a goal of mine. That way I can maximize the amount of time that I can play Magic. And what I'm getting out of Magic. So, kind of a big deal for me. I hope that it will improve my life dramatically.
That's great.
Very cool.
Yeah. For myself, I'm trying not to hold on to Magic too tight, because I've been focusing on, you know, results and just trying to get better and just try and really crush it. And it's really just starting to get to me. I'm starting to break down a little bit. I'm making really sloppy plays, like just day-to-day games. Like, I feel like I'm just playing for the sake of playing right now, so I maybe need to take a step back and refocus and really try to hit it again hard. I mean, one of the things, thankfully, that has shown me this is being on the testing team that we're on, because I do feel actually like I'm probably the worst player on the team, but I think acknowledging that and accepting that is a good thing for me, but, you know, I got to get back to it. I was playing much better Magic a few months ago, and I don't know what's going on, so.
You know, I myself have had a time in my Magic career where results meant so much to me, and like I would get inside my own head. Something that I did to work on that is when I was feeling stressed in a match, I just call a judge and like take a step away from the table.
Yeah.
And rather than like getting stuck in the moment, kind of leaving the moment for just a second, like going to the bathroom for a minute.
Sure.
And I think that that could really help you. I know how like stressed you can get sometimes during matches.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, you could try that.
Yeah, I definitely will. I'm going to try to just anything I can.
You should talk to Michael too. I know that he has some times where he like gets super stressed out during matches.
Yeah, I did. He was actually, we were chatting today about that, where he's just like really beaten up on himself for not closing the finals he made it to last weekend. But I mean, he's such a good player. I don't think it matters.
Yeah.
It's so funny though, when he talks about himself, he's like, oh, I'm like not fundamentally the best player. And I'm like, oh man, this guy's so crazy. He's so good at Magic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think everybody gets there where you're like just really, really, yeah, in your own head, you lose to yourself. You're not even letting your opponent making your opponent beat you. You're just beating yourself. And yeah, taking a step back to reassess and make sure that you stop doing that is really important.
Absolutely. What about you, Casey? How did you improve at Magic this week?
Well, as always, you know, I improved a lot by actually just watching Owen Turtenwald play at this Pro Tour. I was really impressed by his play in the last round of the Swiss when he was playing against Huey Jensen. He did two things that impressed me. One, he was playing against, you know, his best friend in the world, and he didn't let that affect his play at all. You know, there have been times where Spencer and I have played in tournaments and Matt and I have played in tournaments and we both played like garbage because, you know, it kind of felt like just hanging around a kitchen table. And neither of them did that. They both played super tight. But Owen drew actually almost as bad as you can possibly draw with Infect. He had mulligan to five both games, I think. He had a very subpar draw. But even then, when he was way behind, he was still trying to maximize his plays. You know, he was trying to give himself a 1.5% chance to win instead of 1% chance to win. And I was just super impressed by that and just a lesson that I'm going to choose to take going forward.
Awesome. So the show and the website and the YouTube channel, obviously that's always improving. One of the things that will be happening is I'm going to be doing a semi-regular, so like not weekly, not bi-weekly. Really, like there's not a constraint on how often it will happen. It will just happen when I feel like I have something to talk about. I'll be doing a vlog, basically a Magic vlog, where I'll be talking about our testing team, the tournaments we've been going to, maybe some community stuff. You know, we don't really talk about community stuff on the show very often, just stuff like that that I'm passionate about. Maybe I'll have, you know, one of the guys from the show, maybe I'll be like, hey, Quinn, you want to come over and like talk about some Magic and we'll record it? Or, you know, hey, Matt, or hey, Casey, or hey, Manny. Like, sometimes that stuff could happen. Maybe I'll get guests on, like, Paulo, stuff like that. So we'll see how it goes. I definitely, I had a Magic blog, like, way back in the day that I did, like, five episodes of that I really enjoyed doing. So hopefully I enjoy this one. And then also, we have talked a little bit about brewing after brews. It sounds like all three of us want to do it. So that would probably gonna be another like maybe once every other month kind of thing. Like not even a once a month kind of thing. And then we'll also switch off the people that are doing it. There will be like somebody hosting and then some people doing the brewing.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, if it's really popular, there's a chance that there'll be more of it, but it just depends.
Yeah. The main thing that's going to happen is we need to get the hardware to make the show as good of quality as we want. So once we have that hardware, whether it be cameras, you know, the right microphone setup, you know, whatever it is that we're going to need, once that happens, you know, we'll make the show happen. So stay tuned for that. The other thing is I think we're going to do one deck tech a month on the website between me and Manny. So Manny and I will do one a month rather than one a week. Just because it's hard to come up with a deck that we're actually passionate about every single week. It's a lot to ask. So stay tuned for more things on the YouTube channel and we look forward to for you guys to join us there. Awesome. Let's talk about, so we don't actually normally do power rankings on a weekend where there are split formats and the Pro Tour is the biggest split format thing of the weekend, but Casey did compile a list of decks by match points that did the best of the Pro Tour, and I found this really interesting.
Yeah, it was specifically using the decks that had 24 match points or better in Constructed, so 8-2 or better, and then just compiling which decks performed the best pack.
I see. So this isn't like how many match points they had.
Well, it is how many match points they had of decks that went 8-2 or better. It's the combined match points of however many copies of that deck there
were. I see what you're saying. So it's not the combined match points of the deck overall. It's their combined match points after they've already X2'd.
Right, exactly.
Okay. So a little bit different than our normal Power Kings. But let's talk about these decks. So coming in at number 5, we have Angel Cord. Not to be confused with Kiki Cord that did 0-5 in the hands of a 1 Eric Froelich.
Oof, that's rough.
No, Angel Cord is actually just the same deck that some of the pros were playing, I think, 2 Modern Pro Tours ago. The Spike Feeder Angel deck.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it was around. It was a deck that I know people talked about kind of in the wake of Malirapod going away, but nobody ever really made much of a splash with it. The Collected Company was printed right around that time or shortly after, and the Abzan Company deck kind of took over that role. But, you know, somebody, I forget the name, but he played it to a 9-1 record in Constructed.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, Matt Kling is texting me. So this is just a 1 person at 9-1 with the deck.
Right, yeah. 27 match points is 1 person at 9-1.
Cool. Next up, we have Zoo with 48 match points total. Not really surprised to have Zoo on the list of decks that did well. Like, I think that in the format, you had to be pretty aggressive and also pretty lucky.
Yeah, I mean, and Zoo has just enough, like, removal, right? Where you've got Path to Exiles and things like that to get rid of the stuff that you don't deal with and attack through them. I don't think that it's super well positioned in the meta, but it was around. People did see it through, and you know there were a couple people that finished with very good records.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like something that would be popular and that would get lucky enough to get in at that slot. I mean, with how the Pro Tour unfolded.
And we'll get into that in just a second.
Right.
Next up, we have Affinity with 79 points. So this 79 match points hit with 2 in the top 8. I think that this deck was very well positioned in this event. There were many, many, many players that said that they didn't even play against a Stony Silence. And there just weren't Stony Silences around. Like, when you look at deck lists, like, nobody had them.
It was like,
right? I mean, there weren't a lot of white decks for one. I mean,
oh, yeah. Okay.
This Cord and these Zoo decks, you know, play white, but there weren't a lot of, like, blue-white control types of decks running around or Abzan decks running around.
Stony Silence is something you can fit in any deck that plays white, though.
Abzan, like, what?
Yeah, you mean you can...
Any deck that produces white mana can
play Stony. Oh, I thought you said it didn't fit in them. I'm sorry.
No, it does. I mean...
I see. Oh, you know, the thing is...
Like lamb and tuna fish.
Is the thing is, like, some of the things that we saw were deck... Like, Abzan did terrible. It had, like, a 43%. Conversion rate. This is the worst deck by all of it. Abzan had the worst performance by like 7% at this tournament.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you're trying to win with Tarmogoyfs and people,
well, Jund did better... well, and Jund deck, Jund allegedly has a good matchup against the colorless version of the deck.
Oh, interesting.
From what Matt Kling has been saying. Huh.
That is not super intuitive to me, but that is interesting.
How exactly would that be?
Because they don't care about your Lingering Souls.
Sure.
That's why Abzan is so much worse, is it has less cards that, like, and it can play more big things.
Sure.
Allegedly. I mean, and it gets its big things back with, like,
Colgan's Command.
Colgan's Command, which can also turn off the main deck ways to turn off the Chalice of the Void, to turn your Lightning Bolts back on and stuff like that.
Interesting.
So allegedly, I haven't played against Jund yet. I played 3 matches with Eldrazi so far. But I think that Affinity was, like, really well suited for this tournament.
Yeah, and it's because so many people were low on it, right? People were talking about how, oh, you can't play Affinity when, you know, all this stuff is going on. It's so easy to hate out, and people are going to be playing these powerful Eldrazi decks. But, like, if you don't have Affinity hate, like, you just get caught by
people. People were saying that? That's insanity. Yeah, Affinity has made a splash at, like, every Pro Tour since the beginning.
Yeah, and Affinity is at its best when people think that, right? When people are like, oh, Affinity's not going to be good. I don't have to play Stony Silence. I don't have to play Shatterstorm. Wrong. It's never been true before. It's never going to be true.
I think we were talking about that like 2 weeks ago. I swear we were like...
This is my box that I always preach on about Affinity, and nobody ever believes me. You have to play Artifact Hate. If you don't, you will just lose.
We actually had a podcast where Casey and I, like, vowed to never play another deck that didn't have Affinity Hate on the board for the rest of our time playing Magic.
Right, because it's just wrong.
Yeah.
There's just, if you don't have Affinity Hate, you
can't beat Incinerate.
You're giving up
just match.
You're giving up
to lose it to that deck.
Yeah, you're giving up match wins. Next up, we have Blue Red Eldrazi coming in with 81 match points. This is made up by 4 different players. I don't really have a ton. Like, the deck had a 95% win percentage day one. So it went 19-1.
So just everyone was sitting down and just like, what just happened to
me?
It was
four players. Yeah. And then day two, it dropped the deck down to around a little bit above 70% on the tournament.
That's crazy.
With two players who didn't actually lose a match with it. So the other two players, like, clearly...
Yeah, I actually...
I wonder if it's just the one guy might have bogged it down.
They must have. He must have ruined
it for everybody.
I don't know. I'd actually like to see the set, because I thought that there were... Because there were three people that went 9-9-1 with it, basically. And that's where we got to 81 points.
Right.
So...
One of them went 9-1, the other went 9-0-1, right?
No, the only people that went 9-0-1 was Patrick Dickman and Evan Flock.
Oh. So the okay. Wait, how did they both get in then? Matt Kling told me that the two people on blue red that top eighted had 8-3 records in draft. So they had to draw in.
No, I don't think so. They
did draw in. Neither of them had to play a win in it.
One of them got bumped in. He got bumped in because the first and second seed played down, right? And they chose to play.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So he was X and 4, and the other one must have drawn in. Maybe he was 8-1-1?
Yeah.
That sounds right.
Regardless, the deck had a great finish and won the Pro Tour.
Yeah.
Coming in next, we have the Colorless Channel Fireball version with 130 match points. This is the most dominant performance of any deck in the history of the Pro Tour and by any team.
They broke the format.
Well, I think that I still think that the one that won the Pro Tour might be better. And we'll get into that. So these are the decks that did well.
Yeah.
We obviously see that if we put it in perspective, Eldrazi decks at large had 211 points at this Pro Tour.
Right. And that's just including people who did the very best with it.
Yeah, you know, 211 match points.
Yeah, there were a lot of people in the, 7-3 range with the deck.
Right.
You know, this Eldrazi's performance was very reminiscent of Pro Tour Elves, right? Where like it was just the best deck by so much.
Cobblade is another one where a huge team came with a deck that just dominated. Another one that I think of is Worlds with Tempered Steel. Channel Fireball won, had top four in the top eight of Worlds, and won the tournament.
No, it was the same thing that happened this week.
Oh, that's right.
One person cut through them like a knife.
One person beat all three of them. I forgot. Or three of the four of them.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, so let's get into the Pro Tour. So we're obviously going to talk a lot about the decks. So we just want to give you like some information, a little bit of information to go off going into your next tournament. But like these aren't our actual power rankings. It's just kind of a dive in and look. So learning from the Pro Tour, what did you learn? And you already kind of talked about this a little bit, Casey. What did you learn from the Pro Tour?
Well, the thing I already talked about with Owen was a big one, but also just that. I mean, don't underestimate anything. Like, that processor Eldrazi deck people were playing before was fine, but it wasn't great. You know, Frank Lepore was the one who I think did the best with it, and he top eighted, but he went 6-4 in Constructed with that processor theme Eldrazi deck. Got there on a dominant limited record. And the deck was fine, but I didn't really delve too much into Eldrazi after that because I was like, oh, that deck is whatever. You know, I tried playing similar decks with Reality Smasher and Thought Not Seer, but like, none of them felt good enough, but not really giving the archetype enough of a chance to see how powerful it really was.
Yeah, I think that like the whole keeping an open mind thing that we preach all the time is really important. Like we often ourselves like don't do it enough.
Right. I mean, and I did try to look at the deck a lot, and just no version that I was building was coming up as good as it needed to be, it felt like.
Sure. So for me, the thing that I took away the most from this Pro Tour is learning about teamwork. Listening to the guys from Channel Fireball and Pantheon talk about their team process really got me excited to doing that kind of got me excited to want to do that stuff. I want to be implementing those kind of things in my teamwork with the people that I test with. You know, having just actual sessions where like we break down like what we each think of the limited format. Like Tom Martell, when he talks about the way that he like team meetings go, it's like I want that. I don't want it to like ever feel mandatory like a job, but I do think that there's so much you gain from that setting. And what's important is having people that are willing to listen and willing to be wrong. And I think that these people are also just willing to trust each other quite a bit. And I think that that's one of like the major hindrance that I've had in other testing situations where like it just biases get in the way. And I like these people, like LSV recorded limited resources before the Pro Tour. And at the end of the Pro Tour, he said, I don't have an option for a good constructed deck right now. I don't like any of my options. Jacob Wilson invented a deck. He tried it out, knew it was good, and just picked it up. He didn't fight for like his biases or like what the kind of decks that LSV likes to play. He just played the deck that he knew his teammate invented, that he knew, trusted them that it was good. And yep. That's a huge deal. And like they like have a meeting, then they go and have a meeting and like are like, what is every single colors card we could possibly play? What is every colorless land? What is, and they talk about Rogue's Passage. They talked about the deal one to every attacking creature card. That's a Phyrexian white, like
Marrow Shards.
They talked about everything, and they like had these brainstorming sessions, and it's a big deal to me that like, I mean, that's why the super teams are great. Because they do this and they listen to each other and they trust each other and they invite people onto the team that they do trust. And if they don't trust their opinion, then they go to a different team. They don't mess around with other things. They like implement good teamwork.
They rely on each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't want to like have to rely on people whose work you don't trust.
Right.
If two people come up with a deck and they're like, oh, well, it smashes this deck, but you're like, oh, does it really? Like, that's not effective because you have to be able to trust the people you're working with to know what a deck's matchups are.
Yeah, so I'm going to see what we can do to implement that kind of stuff in our lives because I think that it is a benefit, so I'm really excited to try it out. What about you, Manny? Anything that you learned this weekend?
Eldrazi are really, really good. they're bananas. They're as bonkers as everyone thought they were when the set was like spoiled. Insane. It's so good.
Let's talk about this Eldrazi deck. So we have two flavors. We have blue red and we have mono colorless. Manny, what side of the battle are you on?
I would probably say the colorless side. 5/5 trample haste, like very difficult to remove. That sounds
they
like
they both have that.
That's true. I mean, are they both playing Thought Knot as well?
Yeah.
Oh man.
And mimics, right?
Okay. Well, then that maybe sway my opinion. The blue-red looks like it has a lot more like lines of play that you could take, a lot more interactions that you can do.
Oh, I think that the colorless one, like Chalice of the Void on for one, and like Ratchet Bomb and Dismember, like, and it's, you know, main deck Spell Sky. It's, you know, there's definitely both decks definitely have a lot of lines.
Sure.
Sure. Drowner of Hope is insane in the mirror. I actually thought it was the best card in the mirror. Every time somebody had a Drowner of Hope, they won.
Yeah, and like Eldrazi Skyspawner was very powerful in the mirror also, and it doesn't really look like it would be, but just flying is a pretty powerful effect for, you know, decks that tend to play a bunch of big guys.
I did think that all of the games that, well, not all of them, but a lot of the games that were won had to do with Spirit Guide and having that mana advantage. Also having something to ditch to killing Reality Smashers was cool. Mm.
Yeah, it is important to hold cards in the matchup, which is not super intuitive, but you need to have something so that you can dismember that Reality Smasher.
Yeah, so that was pretty great and like pretty important to watch. I don't know. So you're still on color. You like the colorless version, Manny?
You know, I haven't played either one, and I didn't get to watch them on camera this weekend. So for now, I think I'm undecided.
Undecided.
Yeah.
What about you, Casey?
Well, I think that they both showed real dominance over the field, and blue-red being better in the mirror makes me give it a nod.
Sure.
The Cavern of Souls was a very nice touch.
Yeah. Cavern of Souls is a big game. For me, I pick neither. I pick Matt Kling. Matt Kling.
It feels like cheating to me, but
it's not cheating. I pick Matt Kling.
You had two choices, and yeah, you picked a different thing.
A or B. Yeah, stupids. I pick C.
I pick Drowner of Hope is what I pick.
Okay.
I think Drowner of Hope is really important. So I guess in essence, I'm picking the blue red version, but I actually don't think you're getting enough from red. And Mac, and I actually like Reality Smasher a lot, so I would hybrid the two decks, cut the red, and I would play what is the card called? Eldrazi Displacer. Yep. And I played 3 matches with the deck today. Went 3-0. Matt is currently 14-0 with the deck.
No, he says like you can't lose with the deck if you try, which is kind of the way it looked playing against like most of the field.
Yeah, and if you want to win the mirror match, just kill their endless ones with your Eldrazi Displacers.
Sure, sure.
Or yeah, so pretty cool. Pretty cool deck. Let's talk about. This is the shortest podcast in history.
Can it be? Maybe we should just ramble on.
Oh, we will. there's quite a bit of things to ramble on about. Let's talk about bannings and unbannings. So I'm going to go on a rant. Are you guys ready for this?
Yes.
I suppose.
Okay. I believe this is the best Pro Tour in Pro Tour history. And I have a few reasons for believing that. I believe that it will increase Wizard's sell, which is their goal for the Pro Tours.
I mean, they're going to crush it, right? Like, these are all new cards. They're going to crush it. These boxes are going to be open like wildfire.
I believe that they showed the whiners of Modern why they're so wrong for whining.
Explain.
Well, they banned Splinter Twin and Amulet because, you know, the whiners were whining and they were whining all the time.
Was somebody whining for Splinter Twin to get banned?
Oh, people whine about everything.
A vocal but small minority.
Yeah, right? I never felt like the deck was unfair. Like, no, I hated playing against
people,
it. But
people, when Splinter Twin would win an event, would say things like, well, there you go, Splinter Twin wins another event. And it would get to Wizards.
Yeah.
Get to them, not like emotionally like, oh, that got to me, but like they would hear it. And then obviously the amulet thing. And the thing is like the second the Splinter Twin was banned, people started saying, well, now we need to ban Snapcaster Mage, or now we need to ban Tarmogoyf. And they, like, this mindset that Modern has created, that, well, not even Modern has created, that the players of Modern have created, is this, what's next? What's the next thing to get banned?
I feel like that's very true. And
it's the worst thing for the format.
Sure. Right, yeah. And that's why I really don't like Modern very much. Like, it's been reduced to a point where, like, just the best linear deck is going to succeed, yeah. Right? Like, there's no... It doesn't feel like there's a lot of rock, paper, scissors or like matchup. Like, there's just going to be a deck that is better than all the others.
So I have an idea.
6-5-5 for, you know, turn 2.
I have an idea to make Modern great again.
What is it? Spit it out.
Did you get that? Did you catch that?
Yeah, I don't know if you want to associate yourself with that act, but you do what you got to do.
It was a joke, but we are going to use it. We're going to start using the hashtag make Modern great again.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if that's something I'll ever use.
Funny.
The only time Modern was ever great had Treasure Cruise in it. So that's step number one.
So I believe we as Magic players who are reasonable human beings should try and outvoice the whiners in Modern. And we should ask for a massive unbanning. Instead of banning cards from the Eldrazi deck, let's make Modern great again. And have great cards that I mean, Blood Raid Elf should come back.
Mental Misstep.
Maybe not that.
Yes.
So hold on. Let me tell my plan. So I have two. This is a twofold plan. So the first thing that I would do is I would unban Jace the Mind Sculptor, Preordain, Blood Raid Elf, and Green Sun Zenith. I would consider unbanning Pod 2.
Hmm.
And the reason that I would do this is to make decks strong. One thing that we have seen with the unbanning of Wild Nacatl is that Wild Nacatl decks exist.
Right, and that it never needed to be banned.
Right, and the other thing is that the reason they banned it is because, well, if we don't ban Wild Nacatl, there won't be any more green 1-drops that see play. Well, also, if you ban Wild Nacatl, there won't be any green 1-drops that see play.
Hey, Glistener Elf and Noble Hierarch take offense to that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
And that shows that because there were people that whined, you know, Countercat was the popular deck and people were like, well, we should ban cards from this. And Wizards does it because it's bad PR for them. So we should, as a group, ask for the unbanning of those 5 cards. Just do it.
Like
we all don't think, no, not, I mean, everybody, everyone listening to this podcast that is a reasonable human being. The other thing that I would do is I would encourage Wizards of the Coast to set up a new department. And that is the Eternal Department. And their job is to create Deathrite Shamans and Treasure Cruises and Mental Missteps. Cards that don't actually impact the standard or limited environments.
But get banned in Eternal formats.
But have huge impact on Eternal formats. What this will do, if there's a department doing this, so they don't have to be banned, right? If new cards are always coming in, it will shake up the format again.
Right.
Yeah. Sure. I think that there should be more.
Hold on.
They didn't set up like a department to do it, but they knew damn well what they were doing with these new cards.
So hold on. So when we look back on True Name Nemesis, that card had a huge shakeup to Legacy. Like,
it really did.
Most decks were playing it.
And the beauty that they had of that is that it didn't impact Standard at all. Deathrite Shaman had zero impact in Standard. Huge Legacy, you know, implications, huge Modern implications, is not banned in Legacy, and still sees play. And what we should do, what Wizards should do, is they should have a team that's devoted to give them 10 cards a set that their job is to design that do not impact Standard and that do not impact, and that do impact the Eternal formats. And then their job, you know, they have to make it in the framework of the set still, you know, make it interesting.
I mean, you made a valid point though, saying they can do sets like Conspiracy or Commander, those cards don't matter.
No, I don't think that works. And here, first of all, it doesn't work because it doesn't affect Modern.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
Right. But he's saying that because you use True Name Nemesis. Oh, sure.
I mean, using those to affect Legacy is great, and they do that. That's how they designed True Name Nemesis. That's how they designed Unexpectedly Absent. That card sees a little bit of Legacy play.
Containment Priest. That was also a really good.
Sees a little bit of Legacy play. So they do that, but they should have a team that's dedicated to doing it every set.
And for Modern.
And and include Modern in that. I don't think having Treasure Cruises printed is a problem. I really don't. I have come to the conclusion of a little bit of Richard Garfield, not to the extreme that he was at, that if you're not getting cards banned, you're not trying hard enough. But if you're not impacting Magic as a whole, you're not trying hard enough.
Right. You can't play scared, right? And you can't design cards scared. You can't be like, oh, this is going to shake up the format.
I want Modern to be the format that I actually loved at one point. There, where, you know, people were playing Temur Eldrazi, Jund, Infect, Storm, like these great decks, and there was tons of interaction and the decks were interesting. Things did get banned. Jund got oppressive at one point, right? It was so much the best deck because of Deathrite Shaman. I'm not saying to bring Deathrite. Sometimes cards are too powerful and they need to be banned. I'm not saying bring Treasure Cruise back either.
Like, I am.
You bring it back.
Yeah, probably not Treasure Cruise. You could probably bring back Deep Through Time.
Yeah.
You
could, that one really never got its fair shake in the sun.
And maybe it is too good, but banning cards is fine, but making an impact on the format is a bigger deal. This deck would have existed in a format with Splinter Twin, but it wouldn't have oppressed the format in a format with Splinter Twin.
Right, because you can't play a no-removal deck in that format, right?
Right, and that's important. It's important to note that because Splinter Twin is going to keep a balance into the format, it shouldn't have been banned. And you know what? If they had just said, we want more blue decks to exist, let's ban Splinter Twin, that's not the right angle to take. Instead, you could say, let's unban Preordain and Jace.
Yeah, right, absolutely. I mean, you think it's like an overcompensation, right? Like if you think of like let's say Ancient Rome, right?
So let's actually.
So in the example I'm going to give, like way back when, like during like the fall of the Republic, right, or the Empire, I should say, like a general would be doing very well, and people would be scared that he was going to come home and become a dictator. So they would like fire him and be like, "You did great. Good job. Go home.
Now,
get out of here.
Now go fall on your sword.
Yeah, we're done with you." And I mean, you can't really take that kind of approach to the format. It's going to just paint a target on whatever deck is the best and continually wreck it and like get it nowhere.
Yeah, I don't think that targeting cards for bannings, and that's what people do, is like the second Splinter Twin was banned, people started asking for other bannings. And that's a problem. That's what's creating this format to be a format that people don't enjoy. Because what are you left with? You're left that if they do print a very good card, that it takes over formats.
Yeah.
There's nothing to compete with it. They banned all the good cards.
Yeah, it immediately becomes oppressive. Like, Reality Smasher is a good card, but it's not, like,
insane. I don't believe in
it's not Hypergenesis.
All of the cards that we just talked about unbanning, which I believe are the five that I would target. Those are the five I would start with. And I am of the opinion that Green Sun Zenith is, like, actually insane. And I would have never thought I was saying unban it, because I think that it makes uninteresting decks. But I don't think that the decks exist. The decks don't exist anyway. What's, like...
Right. Like, I don't think that Maverick is too good. Like, you could literally play Legacy Maverick, and I don't think it would even be that good in Modern, right? Like, it would be fine.
There's one more thing that I want to add to this, and that's some kind of... something in between Tectonic Edge and Ghost Quarter? Or something that's, like... that's like, not Wasteland.
Right, that's on their power level, but is more comparable to Wasteland.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a little bit better. Like, in a format where Ghost Quarter is good, it's very good, right? But I would find a way to bring something like that into Modern.
Would Wasteland even be that bad?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you're taking damage from your lands.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, okay.
Yeah, I mean, actual Wasteland would probably, it would be a huge resurgence to decks like Delver, right? Which maybe isn't a bad thing, like, and it does punish these big mana decks, but it might be too much. It might make it, like, playing Liliana of the Veil not viable.
I would start, for Worlds, for example, I would love a massive unbanning.
It would
really shake up the format. It would create a world, like, where it would just create such a more interesting world. And if you have this team that's behind the scenes on Wizards that's devoted to Eternal, there's a huge group of Eternal players. There are people that only play Modern. There are people that only play Legacy. There are people that only play Vintage. And if you have a team that they know is dedicated to them, it's going to make them so happy. And they're also more likely to buy sealed product.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you're targeting a market that already doesn't buy any sealed product.
Yeah, I think being able to revitalize the format is good and have new cards have an impact. These cards, I think, had too much of an impact. I don't think anybody wants this because it makes people not want to play Modern, right?
But because it's not a self-correcting format. Because Legacy has so many powerful cards in it, True Name was printed, we all thought it was insane, and it fixed itself.
Right, because there's still Wasteland, there's still Force of Will, there's still Zealous Persecution. You know, there's ways to combat powerful interactions. Right. Where, like, Modern just doesn't have that
healing. I mean, the only card you have available to you that early is Ghost Quarter. There's, like, what else are you going to do turn one?
Yeah. Disrupting Shoal? No, thank you. I'm not interested.
So I think that if the ban list hadn't existed the way it did when these cards came out, this deck couldn't have beat Storm.
No.
Yeah. In a million years, this deck couldn't have beat Storm.
Right, yeah. If Storm wasn't, like, completely toothless like it is now, like, if it was still Storm, like,
if it just had Seething Song, it might not be able to beat it.
Right. Yeah, even that, like, where you could still be like, okay, well, I can, yeah, like, you're not close to fast enough. Thought Not Seer isn't good enough.
I think that they should start with a huge unbanning of, like, six cards. Like, I would start with those five. I think that Preordain probably doesn't need to be banned.
Yeah. Ponder might be too good. Like, it would be the best card in Modern, right, where Preordain probably wouldn't be.
Would that card still be better than Lightning Bolt?
I think so. I think Ponder is, like, it's enough more powerful than even Preordain that I think it would warp the format.
The very first time Ponder was explained to me, I, like, didn't believe, like, whoever was telling me. It was either, like, you, Casey, or Matt. And I was like, no, cards don't do that. And they're like, no, that's what it does. It's unreal.
I think that there's a world where everything can exist, where there can be a rock, paper, scissors effect, where if I want to play a mid-range deck, I can have powerful cards like Bloodbraid Elf. If you want to play a control deck, you can have powerful cards like Jace the Mind Sculptor. If Casey wants to play a combo deck, he can have powerful search engines like Preordain. And if somebody wants to play in a, like, an insanely high variance aggressive deck, they can play Infect. They can play these Eldrazi decks. They have to, but they should be kept in check by something, and all of it should be held together by a glue. Like, there are things that you just take for absolutes in Legacy, right? That this is something that you have to do. This is something you have to beat. This is something you have to play around. And one of those things is Force of Will.
Right. You have to be able to interact, or right. You have to be able to, like, yeah, you have to be able to get something going.
There's an absolute happening where there's not that in Modern now that they banned Splinter Twin. And I'm not saying that Wizards made a mistake banning Splinter Twin, because there were legitimately people asking for the banning of cards the second they won tournaments. And that's because of the mindset that's been created. And we need to shake off that mindset and be... What do we really want as Magic players? When you look at a new set, do you think, I want this card banned? Or do you think, I want to play with this card?
Yeah, I mean, you want to feel like it's exciting, right? The, like, oh, this is going to affect... because it's going to make these matchups better, which is going to make these decks better, which is going to make these decks that will still beat those decks better. I think, you know, you want it to be dynamic. You don't want it to be something where the cards either have no impact or they warp the format to where it's irrecognizable.
Yeah, I mean, I was very excited for Warping Whale and what it could mean for Splinter Twin. Like, those were things that could have been really fun to play with. I don't think Splinter Twin was anywhere near the power level it should have been to, you know, get the Banhammer. But, like, now we'll never know.
Yeah, so in the future, in all of your dealings, we should, as a group, as a collective, as Magic players, start asking for unbannings, we can have an awesome modern format. It's possible. I believe it.
Yeah. I mean, when I first started playing modern was pretty fun. Like, I liked it a lot. And then it just got worse and worse over time.
As they kept banning cards.
Right.
Banning cards has created just an unfun format.
Yeah, an extremely linear format where, like, it's two ships passing in the night constantly, and just the bigger ship wins.
So,
or whichever ship leaves port first.
What do you think, Manny? Are you a fan of?
I am. I think that's so fun. I've never gotten to play with Jace, like, except in Legacy.
Well, I mean, what do you think of the idea of having a team dedicated to shaking up Eternal formats every set?
Yeah, no, I think that's a really great idea, and I think, again, it could increase, you know, sales of sealed product to players who don't ever buy those kinds of things. And, you know, I think the format
shows those players that they care.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we really need somebody to, like, be in charge of modern, like, not just kind of interject. Like, I think the approach the approach I feel WotC has taken is they're like a dad who, like, pokes his head in the door and he's like, "How you guys doing? Oh, you don't like that? Okay, it's gone. I'll be back later." And it's just like, it's not enough. It's not enough for a diverse and healthy format.
Yep, that's exactly how I feel. I actually thought that you guys would, like, resist me on this.
No way, man. That sounds great.
Well, like, I'm all for modern getting better. I don't like it now. I don't think it's a good format. But, like, if it's going to be, like, doing things to make it get better is step number one.
Would you start with the unbannings, or would you start with bannings?
I don't know. I think I would rather try unbannings always, because, like, if they can raise the power level of the rest of modern to beat this Eldrazi deck, then it's not a problem. If it's still a problem, then...
Yeah, I mean, four decks that are good, and then... Like when you think about, like, Legacy, like, fringe decks still win because they attack the metagame.
Right. They attack something specific because it's a very wide-open card pool.
Right.
People say, oh, Legacy's not diverse because every deck's a Brainstorm deck. But, like, those decks are so different that it really is diverse. Miracles, Rug Delver, Storm, and Food Chain are not the same
Stoneblade.
Yeah, I mean, Delver's
a perfect example of that, right? Like, Delver Order can smash your face in Legacy all day long, but it's just, like, not quite there in Modern right now, right? Where you're, like, not worried about it at all. You're like, oh, it's fine. Like, Electrolyze, you idiot.
Right. Because they can't daze you and force of will your creature and, like, beat your face in.
Yeah. So, there's my rant. That's what I would do. I think that everybody who's asking for bans needs to take a step back.
Yeah.
You're making a worse format when you do that, because you're taking something away.
I mean, having said that, though, so I agree, I'm completely on board with everything we've talked about, but I mean, if they are not willing to unban things, and, it, you know, these Eldrazi decks continue to just dominate
then
top
8s.
They're
not willing to play modern, and they should just remove it from the Pro Tour and the PPTQ scene.
Yeah, that's where I'm at right now. But I mean, if that continues to happen and modern season rolls around next summer, and the you know, your choice is to play blue red Eldrazi or, like, colorless Eldrazi, or you're not going to win, I, like, you have to do it. You know what I mean? I'm not going to give up opportunities to get to an RPTQ.
So, Matt and I actually recently were floating a theory about Modern, that basically it's a conspiracy on behalf of Wizards, that they're trying to kill the format so that this Eternal Masters that they're probably set to announce very soon is going to be a huge hit. They're like, hey, you know how much fun Modern was at one point? Well, Legacy's even sweeter than that, and now that Modern's basically unplayable, check out this new Eternal Masters. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, that can't be with the restricted list, right? Like, you just can't.
Well, so as of a couple of days ago, maybe it's back up now, but if you search for the restricted list, the Wizards page that hosts the restricted list is a 404. It's like, you can't find it anymore.
Ooh.
Is that true?
I mean, it was true a few days ago. Let's search for it now.
If that were the case, I would do somersaults, like, all day. I've never done one in my life. I am not sure I'm physically capable of doing that, but I mean, all I want to do is tap, like, volcanic islands and underground seas.
It's the reserve list, not the restricted list. Yeah. Yeah. So these are all third party sites.
It's gone.
But does it actually have a list?
That's what I'm looking for. Cards appears at the end of this document.
Oh, it's back up. Never mind.
Back up.
Oh, boo. Is it this is the page that was gone, like, a week ago. Maybe they just brought it back up because people caught wind of it and it's still going away. I don't know. I'm holding out.
I don't know. They've stuck to it for so long. I mean, can they reverse themselves
they
now?
They should 100% get rid of the reserve list.
I think that if you literally took a vote of everyone that owns a Black Lotus, that like 90% of them would say reprint them. I would rather play with them.
The only people that want the reserve list to exist are people who have their life savings and magic
collectors.
Cards. And it's like 300 people.
Yeah, it's not very many.
And they could sell them. They will still make a profit on what they bought those cards on.
I mean, would they?
Yes.
Let's say they picked them up now.
The demand of dual lands will go up if there are more players playing
Legacy. I mean, the demand is there now, right? Like
there's no demand. Nobody can afford to play Legacy.
An Underground Sea is $300 for a reason. If nobody wanted it, it wouldn't cost that much.
Do you own a Legacy deck?
Not anymore, no.
Okay, why don't you own it?
There's no one to play with.
So if there was 30 people at your store to play with, like Standard, would you own a Legacy deck?
Would I drop like 1,600 on lands? Yeah, probably.
No, you wouldn't drop 1,600 lands. That's why there's not people to play with.
Oh, sure. I did that already, but I was willing to do that. Yeah. No one was willing to do
and
it with
a lot
me.
Of the people that own like a bunch of these dual lands bought them for a fraction of what they
right. Worth they bought now. Them for $40.
Yeah, that seems much better.
Like that, and that's when Legacy was super popular. Then it got super expensive, and people stopped playing it because it wasn't viable.
Yeah, they should 100% get rid of it.
I agree. I wish that they would, and I hope that they do, but I just don't know if they will.
I think that we can live in a world where Modern, Extended, Legacy, and Standard all exist.
Yeah, I think Extended would be sweet. I think that if they do get rid of the reserve list and like make Legacy viable again, that honestly they could probably just get rid of Modern. I don't think anybody would
play that. Like, that'd be ridiculous. 8th edition only, guys.
I don't think so. I think that you can still make two interesting... I don't know.
That would be... I mean, if everybody could afford Legacy...
Do you like Popper?
Yeah, but it's mostly like... It's kind of silly, right? I don't want Popper GPs.
Is Popper as popular as Modern? Like, it's just
no,
one of those
but
things.
That's what I'm saying. Like, do you enjoy playing Popper?
Yeah, occasionally.
Are there times where you've enjoyed playing Modern?
Yeah.
Have you ever played Extended?
No.
Extended was my favorite format.
Right. I don't know. I think that, like, I don't think that they could bring back Extended and Legacy and have Modern, like, exist as the in-between point. I think that's just too many formats.
This is what we should do. We should make a poll on Twitter. If Legacy, you know, if the dual lands were reprinted, would you still play Modern? Because, I mean, I'm sure not everybody wants to daze somebody and force will them, but I sure as hell do.
I think that there is
like,
a target audience that hates blue decks enough that they will never play Legacy.
Blue's the best color.
Well, sure, but, like, there are people that feel that way, but still, no deck without a basic island in it has ever won a Modern Pro Tour. So, like...
Boom.
It's not, you're not getting away from it.
And the mic is dropped.
Yeah, I feel like we don't have anything to talk about now.
That's that. All right, we will be right back after a short break. All right, so we had our fun. We had our conversation. I'm actually glad to know that. I hope that the listeners will join me in that. And that when you see someone. I don't think the mic picked it up.
Oh, yeah, we have nice mics now. They can't hear us drinking behind the scenes.
I hope that people listening will take it to heart. And like, you don't improve things by taking things away, usually.
Except for, like, bad habits.
Yeah, bad habits. You know, there are things that... So you improve as a person, right?
Yeah.
So...
I mean, I wouldn't call Splinter Twin a bad habit.
Well, no. Yeah, I mean, I think the idea is, that, like, it's a blight, right? Like, it's, like, something that you have to, like, go to your doctor and have it removed.
Right. And I think that, like... The beauty of Magic was always that things were getting added to it, right? That it was always new and fresh.
Yeah, I mean, if it was only Alpha, Beta, Unlimited, Revised, like, it would have gotten boring pretty fast, right?
Right. And that's one of the things that we look forward to when we see a new set. And we should encourage Wizards that we want to look forward to that everywhere when we see a new set. And they should totally have a team devoted to it. And they should start unbanning things and give us a new format. There's been a lot of cards introduced into Modern since it was introduced. It's now, what is it, 60 sets? It's a lot of sets.
Yeah. And, you know, another thing that could be worth looking into is reprints from, like, you know, pre-8th edition sets could be a lot of fun, could really shake up the format as well.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of people that advocate for Force of Will to be printed in Modern. I don't know that that's, like, the route we need to go.
That's a lot of overcorrection
that's
there.
That would be introducing a new absolute into the format. but there are things that we could do. And I hope that we can do them moving forward. And I hope that as a community, we can stop asking for things to go away and start asking for things to be added and making the format good. So, but that's modern as the format that we talked about from the Pro Tour, because it was what the Pro Tour was. Let's talk about what we can take away and learn that maybe we didn't talk about already. And I wrote down a few things. One of the huge ones is deck building. And I've seen a lot of people that have really encouraged me on Twitter over the last day that are talking about, and on our Facebook group, that are like, this is what I'm trying to do to beat these decks. Rather than talking about complaining and banning things, they say, I'm doing this to beat this. Like, just sharing it with the world. Like, we as a group can beat this deck.
Yeah, I mean, good old-fashioned magic stratagem, right? Like, you're like, they're doing this, I'm going to do this.
Right. And we've seen tons of people go to Twitter and, like, talk about, like, ways to beat the deck, ways to do different things. And that was one thing that we learned from the Pro Tour, is that deck building played a huge role in the Pro Tour with those two teams. They broke the format wide open. They gained a huge advantage over the rest of the field by having good deck building.
Very true.
And so we should implement that moving forward to beat them. But there's a lot more of us than, you know, the 26 people that played Eldrazi.
Yeah.
So
at least twice as many.
Yeah, at least there's at least 52 people in the world that play Magic.
Yeah. That aren't, I mean, them. Minus those 26, right? Yeah.
So, like, realistically, you're looking at, like, what, 20?
So wait, there needs to be, like, at least 80 Magic players. Are there that many?
Oh, my gosh.
Are there that many?
Shut up. Yeah, I think that, like, it's a huge benefit to us to be able to get together as a group and play and design decks that attack the metagame. We can make the format better and self-correcting, and having good deck building behind it is going to be an important part of that. The other thing that I learned a lot from watching a few people, there were people that continued to complain about Modern, and then there were people that attacked the format. A good example of this is Paulo, where he
showed up with Obzon and got wrecked.
No.
He played Eldrazi.
He played Eldrazi and locked Platinum.
Oh, okay, cool. I was reading an article where he was like, at the time, he was thinking about taking Obzon. I'm really glad he didn't do that.
So there are people like there are people like PV who had a great team of people around them. Even though they didn't like the format, they did everything that they could, and they came prepared. And then there are people that went into the Pro Tour that thought, I hate Modern, I'm not even going to try, I'm just going to play this deck, and then they did not do well. There were actually specific teams that did that. And it really hurt them. They did okay in Limited, and then just flamed out. And what we learned from this is that you need to be a multi-format player. If you're playing on the PPTQ scene and you want to go to the Pro Tour, there are a lot of things. You need to be good at Sealed, Draft, Modern, and Standard. That's four formats.
Yeah, I mean, if not, you're just going to get there and you're going
to
lose. Like,
you're not even going to get there. You have to be in. If you're playing in Sealed PPTQs, there's Draft at the top eight. If you're playing in Standard PPTQs, you have to be able to draft once you get to the Pro Tour. There's
Yeah, I mean, that was the example I was using.
Oh, sure, right, sure, yeah, sure, sure.
You'll always need to use Draft. Right. And then, like, you can't be a one-trick pony unconstructed either, especially if you want to get on and stay on the Pro Tour.
Right. I mean, if you just want to be the best Magic player you can be, you should play all formats. And we hear people like Owen who talk a lot about this, who talk about how it's important to them to be well-rounded. Joshua Layton has talked about that. It's important. You can't just ignore something because you don't like it. You should make it fun because you want Magic to be fun. If Magic feels like a chore for you, switch formats for a second. You can go back to it. You should just become well-rounded. And a lot of the times that when I hear people is they're like, oh, I hate Limited. I'm never playing Limited. And for me, it's like, why do you hate Limited? Well, I don't understand it. Well, did you understand Constructed when you started? Well, no, I like had to learn it. And finally, I was able to win an FNM and things like that. It's like Limited's the same way, man. You have to try. You have to get there.
Yeah, if you don't try, you can't ever get there. It's just obvious.
So there's a ton of things that you can do. You could listen to LR or LTO to get help with Limited. You know, Limited resources or Limited time only. And for us, like, if you hate Modern, but you want to stay up to date, no, listen to our Modern cast. When we're doing Modern, don't skip those episodes. I know people who skip only and listen to Legacy and only listen to Modern or only listen to Standard, I encourage you not to. You know, it's an hour out of your week. Like, just take a listen.
Right, and it can give you a different perspective, right? Like, it, even if you don't necessarily like Modern or don't necessarily like Legacy
or Standard
or Standard or whatever, you can still take a chance to learn about it, and it may give you a new appreciation for it, or it may give you a new idea for your format.
Yeah, I mean, so I personally have a huge, like, giant gaping hole in my draft game. Like, it's awful. Like, I've drafted 3 times in my life, and it's something that I know I have to work on. I have acknowledged that, like, even if I get to the Pro Tour, you know, PPTQ, RPTQ, like, I'm going to get demolished there because I can't draft. I can't draft, like, worth a damn. And, like, picking up those skills is going to be so big for me, like, in card evaluation, card selection. Like, let's say I have, you know, a slot or two in my sideboard that I need to pick, you know, I need to pick, make sure I have the right card selected for it. I think those skills transfer over directly to that and make you a stronger Magic player.
Yeah, I think that it's really important. And it's something that if you're not doing it, make time in your week to listen to a podcast, read an article in a format you don't like, go do a draft, go play in a Modern event. Become more well-rounded. It just makes you a better Magic player. And those lessons that you learn in those formats can be applied to other places. But the important thing is just being the best Magic player you can be, and that involves being a multi-format player. The next thing that I wrote down is staying calm and finishing your event. Casey talked about meaningless game, about the meaningless games and staying through it. You know, we also had PV had a draft match where his opponent nut drew him. He played 2-drop Nissa. What was the 4-drop he played?
I don't know. I didn't wake up early enough to watch Limited either day.
Oh, okay. Regardless, he played 2-drop Nissa, best 4-drop in his deck. I don't remember what the 4-drop was. And PV was like, super, like in, on paper, you'd think there's no way he could win this game. Played a 2-drop into a Planeswalker and did the best 4-drop in his deck. Oh, it was a Seed Guardian. 2-drop Nissa, Seed Guardian.
That seems powerful.
Yeah.
That seems very good.
And so what is PV supposed to do? And PV ends up losing the game on like turn like 13. And he said if he had actually taken the correct line and done what he knew he needed to do, he actually would have won the match. And that's important. He means that he recognized that he had a chance to win the game and he played through it. And it means the same thing, right? It's not a meaningless match. Every match matters. And even though he was in a dire situation, he didn't let that take him downward into a downward spiral. And the other thing that we saw and it was Frank Lepore after losing, I think, 4 matches in a row or 4 out of 5 matches.
I think it was 3 in a row because he was it was 4 in a row because he was 11-0 at one point.
Yeah, he loses four matches in a row and finds himself in the last round. I mean, how would you recover from that? He had a lot in him to win that match.
Yeah.
To win that last match. Like, that's a big game.
Yeah, like, it takes a lot out of you. And especially, like, when he played basically 4 win-and-ends in a row and lost them. You know, any one of those matches would have locked him for top 8. And he was just getting beaten down and beaten down and showed perseverance. You know, he had a tough loss against LSV. Went back, lost, you know, 2 more matches after that. I'm sure that he was kicking himself, just hated his life, but he still managed to gut through it and win a last match, which a lot of people don't have that in their range.
Yeah. I mean, I've gone, you know, lost my first 2 matches at a tournament and just throw in the towel and just go home.
Right. Yeah. And in the same tournament you did that a couple weeks ago, Matt was 0-2 and then won his last 3 and top 8-ed.
Yeah. Yeah. He definitely did.
It's important that you realize the value of sticking to it and gaining the skills to have the perseverance, right? You can build tougher skin.
Yeah, you just have to...
You can say along the lines of, okay, so I'm 0-2. What's next for me? Because I can either go home or I can have Obi growl at me. Or, you know, if Obi's not there, you can win your next 2. You win your next 3. You win your next 4.
Right. I always call it playing for pride, right? So like, okay, I'm 0-2 or I'm 1-2 and I'm not going to make top 8, but I'm going to finish this tournament with a winning record, or I'm going to finish this tournament at 500, or I'm going to win as many matches as I can, because it's a 5-round tournament whether you RO2 or your 2-0.
One of the biggest things that I remember helped me, and we did it, it was so early in the podcast that we talked about this, was I'm sitting at lunch with Alex Sittner at the Utah Open. And it was actually breakfast, I think, because we actually intentionally drew round one. I said, so what's your goal today? And he says, I'm just going to win as many matches as possible. And I thought that was so weird. I thought it was such a weird goal. His goal is to win as many matches as possible. Like, aren't you always just going to win as many matches as possible? But what he meant by that is, I'm going to win my next one. And then I'm going to win my next one. And then I'm going to win my next one. And then I'm going to win my next one. It's not about winning as the whole thing. It's not this overwhelming thing that you have to look at. It's about winning your next one.
Right. Yeah. You can't go 8-0 if you don't win the next one.
Right.
You don't win the first one.
And it sounds so stupid and like the most cliche thing ever. But like, how many times do we think to ourselves? In fact, Manny does this all the time. It infuriates me. Where he'll say, oh, you only got to win two more. And I'm like, no, Manny, it's five more. And also, I got to win the next one.
Yeah. Well, it's something that we used to say all the time,
We did.
When it was like, okay.
Everybody does it.
I've got to win my next three. We'd say, okay, I got to win an eight, man. But no, like, you just got to win your next match.
Right. That's step one. We've all done it. Every single one of us has done it.
Yeah.
I'm calling out Manny because I love him.
I'm right here. That helps.
No, it's, you do, and every time you say it, what do I say?
Yeah, and then you go, no, I have, you know, X more.
Right.
You're like, no.
Nope. I think that after the last one, you haven't said it to me since. Like, I think that you're starting to get it. And it's the important thing is it's about, like, your mindset and where you're at, right? Whereas it's important to you to get to that top eight.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, in, you know, it's a goal, but it's not the goal.
Right. What I'm saying is you've programmed your brain to think that my goal is to top eight, right?
Sure, yeah.
And so now that your goal is to go to an RPTQ, your new goal is to win.
Yes.
So now that your brain is already programmed, you have to reprogram that brain. It's not something that just happens.
Sure.
And that's what happened to me then.
Yeah, I mean,
when Alex was talking to me, it was my moment where I was like,
this, honestly, that's the moment I'm having right now, where I am not going to worry about another match of Magic that's not my next one ever again.
Good. I'm glad. Yeah. I think that's great. That's why you're on the podcast, to have these moments and to have this.
I mean, I actually had never thought about it that way until you guys explained it that way. And that's like really the only thing I need to be worrying about or stressing about is like my next match.
Well, yeah.
Even within the framework of a match, if you're down a game, it's so easy to be like, oh, I've got to win two in a row. Like, my back's against the wall. No, well, you can't win two in a row if you don't win the next one.
Right, yeah. Just win the next game.
Yeah, and, you know, something that I've struggled with in the past is being up a game.
I also struggle with that.
Everybody does.
Oh, I'm just like, how do I lose this? This is so great.
I have historically struggled being up a game. In fact, in on-camera feature matches, I am always up a game going in, and I've never won one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a real curse for you.
No, it's not... It's not a curse.
Are you self-prophesizing? Because I'm just saying, I've been next to you when you've been called to the feature match area at an SCG, and you're just like, "Welp, there goes that one." and you go sit down.
It's because we put ourselves under a certain amount of pressure, and we don't need to do that. The pressure exists only in one place. Because you know what? Hodunk guy that doesn't know who you are, Manny Perez, doesn't give a flying rat's behind if you win your next match or the match after that or the match after that. The only person that cares, the only person that has put some generic value on you top-eighting this tournament or winning this tournament is you.
Right.
So who are you trying to impress? Who are you trying to... What's the reason? And I'm calling you up because you're the one having this epiphany right now.
Sure. Well, I mean, as far as other people, I don't care about anybody else but myself. I'm like...
Then why is it so stressful?
It's the stress I place on myself to look that far ahead.
But why? Because I've done it too. I've been there.
It's unnecessary. It's like, I mean, if I think about it, like, stress is self-made, right? If you are a cool cat, like, you're just hanging out with your sunglasses on, you know, there is no stress. Like, you create it for yourself. It exists only in your mind.
Let's go back to your sunglasses example.
Yeah.
I did one of the
douchiest.
I didn't want to say that on the podcast, but I did a very uncool thing. In fact, we all did. So,
were you chewing gum at the same time?
We all wore these sunglasses to States one year. that had swag across the front.
Of that sunglasses. Is the lamest thing I've ever heard of in my whole life. I think I'm quitting the cast.
And we had no pressure on ourselves because it was about having a little bit more fun back then. I was actually the states that I won. And
did you wear those in the finals?
I did.
Oh my gosh.
I wore them. Quentin wore them. Gage wore them. Travis wore them. Like, we all wore them.
Okay.
Some of us like would wear them like on the top of our heads. A lot of it was on top of the head.
So you got to get them back.
What? What do you mean?
Good luck charm.
Oh no, I'm never wearing those again. It was a joke. It was a joke.
Yeah.
But I think that like we actually felt confident going into that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that something that creates the stress is some kind of self-doubt. Somewhere in there, you doubt that you're going to top eight that tournament.
Sure, yeah.
Do you want to know why I top eight so many PPTQs?
Why?
Because I don't care about the top eight anymore. I just want to win.
Sure.
And I consider the tournament more rounds than you do.
Yeah.
And once you and the only thing that I'm starting to care about is winning that next match.
Mm-hmm.
But once I get to the finals, I'm super stressed.
Time to listen to Uptown Funk.
But I think that it's important that everybody feels that way. I feel that way. Casey feels that way. Manny feels that way. Joey Bob feels that way. At some point in our Magic careers, we put a certain amount of stress on ourselves. The pros all say that their first top eight is the hardest. I mean, why wouldn't it be, right? That's the pinnacle of Magic is a pro tour top eight.
I mean, just look at Evan Flock, right? Like, he was considered the best player in the world without a Pro Tour top eight a year and a half ago, and now he's a Pro Tour champion and has three top eights.
And he's probably a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, like, he's well on his way.
Owen Turtwild, you could say the same thing about, right?
Yeah.
Dude was at one point the best pro without a Pro Tour top eight. He literally had one player of the year without topping in a Pro Tour.
Right. Or winning a Grand Prix, right? Like, he was just, like, super consistent, but, right. Like, could never get over the hump. And then...
Now the dude's the only person to ever win Grand Prix in consecutive weekends.
Shuhei and Kai both done that also.
Oh, okay. The third person to do it.
Still impressive.
Yeah, I mean, he literally won a Grand Prix, flew to another city, won a Grand Prix.
Yeah, in two different formats. Like,
In Legacy, like and, in Legacy nothing. And Standard. And, like, these people, they went years without topping a Pro Tour. Like, Owen Turnwald's the best player in the world. And his Pro Tour debut was like 2005. He didn't top eight a Pro Tour until 2013.
Yeah, it was Pro Tour gate crash, and then now he has three.
He has three a World's Finals.
Yeah.
So what you guys are trying top to four. What you guys are trying to tell me is that I haven't peaked yet.
Of course not.
Cool.
I think that when we all look back on it, we've all found ourselves in situations where we don't stay calm and we don't finish the event, and it costs us some amount of that thick skin.
Yeah, I mean, it happened to me at the last pre-TQ I played in, 2.5 weeks ago. I made the top eight, and then I was paired against our teammate Michael, who was the person that I'd lost to in the Swiss, and I went on tilt.
I think you were saying he gave you like a savage beating the first time you guys played.
Yeah, well, I mean, the second one was way more savage than the first one. The first one was actually kind of close, but the second one was pretty savage. But like I was on tilt because I was like, oh, this isn't a good matchup. Like I knew that he had, you know, really designed his deck with this matchup in mind because he thought it was going to be a popular deck. He and another teammate at West attested the matchup a ton. He knew exactly how to play it. I didn't. I felt awful about it, and I let it get to me. And like I made a huge punt in game one, like that totally lost me the game. Like I was not like a lock to win it, but like because I let the little things about the match get to me, I just gave away the match.
I think it's easy to psych yourself out. I think that it's we don't easy. Give enough credit to the fact that we all do it. And we also get offended when people bring up the fact that we did it. It's like, no, I didn't. But you know you did. You know you did.
But it's just the worst thing in the world, right? You don't ever want to lose to yourself. So when you do it, you don't want to admit it.
Yeah, it's funny because like it's actually just better. The fact that you lost to yourself is better. It means that you can improve.
Yeah, it is. But it is better, but it feels worse.
That's a point of...
I mean, it does give you the feel-bads for days.
But at least you know.
Yeah, I mean...
And knowing's half the battle.
That's the world that I currently exist in.
As soon as Hasbro starts paying us for that, it's going to be great, right?
So yeah, as soon as Hasbro gets us the dollars for the G.I. Joe references.
Or they sue us. Like, it's a coin toss.
Nothing, once again, nothing Manny says is
I mean, if I say it on the show, you're liable. You are responsible for my mouth.
Is that true? Is that in your contract?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's an LLC, so like, how bad could it get, I guess? Right?
I don't know that it's
We'll find out.
So what do we learn from all of this? So what do we learn from deck building, being a multi-format player? I think we learn that the pros are the pros because they make themselves well-rounded. They give themselves that thick skin.
It's about doing 100 little things right, right? It's not, there's not one change you can make to your Magic game that's going to make you a Pro Tour top 8 player.
Yeah.
It's about doing 100 little things right. And, you know, these are all pieces to the puzzle, and we're all missing, you know, big chunks of this puzzle, and we're just trying to piece it together little by little.
Yeah, I think that it's, there's so much of Magic is micromanaging, and I think that we don't realize is that there are little things that you have to micromanage before, during, and after a game of Magic that are kind of outside the game. You have to have your headspace clear, and so much of that is like, did you get in a fight with your wife the night before or your girlfriend?
Did you need to pee?
Eat breakfast? Yeah. Do you have to go to the bathroom? I lost so many matches because I had to go to the bathroom. I think that Utah players think that I don't have a bladder because I call a judge to go to the bathroom like every 3 rounds. I might do it more than every human being on the planet. I'm not going to sit there uncomfortable. It's just going to lose you matches of Magic.
I'm a nervous peer. So like I pee after every single round without fail. I'm like, I gotta play more Magic. I gotta pee. Yeah. Every 10 seconds. Like a tiny, like a little puppy dog.
I pee after every round.
Every round.
That's so much peeing.
A lot.
Well, you also like, drink like 7 Red Bulls every tournament.
I do drink a lot of Red Bulls.
Diabetes also makes you pee more, right?
I mean, if your blood sugar is not under control, you will pee a lot more, but mine usually is.
Except for when you're drinking 7 Red Bulls.
Those are all sugar-free, dum-dum.
Oh, sure.
I don't mess around with those. I would be dead. I'd be dead in like days if I drank 7 real Red Bulls.
You could be dead from drinking 7 big Red Bulls.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's like way more dead the other way.
Oh, I guess it's a matter of how fast you die and how much you're dead.
I mean, yeah. I guess going out at the table, calling a judge is probably one of the ways I'd want to go.
I think calling a judge. I'm going to die calling a judge.
Judge, I need an ambulance. I need a time extension.
Judge, I can't feel my arm.
I hope that that everybody realizes that there's always something that you can do to improve the world around you, and that's, we're talking about Modern. And instead of being a negative Nancy.
Don't be a baby. Don't be a baby.
And calling for bannings. Be the person that's uplifting and helping improve the format by, you know, doing the things we talked about, deck building.
Plane snaring bridge.
Know what you're talking about when it comes to the format, rather than just saying, "Oh, this deck top eight of the Pro Tour, we should ban it." And then, once you're in those situations where things can get rough for you, stay calm. Like, do your job. So, let's talk about the clan. So, I actually have been on MGO a lot lately. I'm on MTGO way more. You can message me at Spencer13Dev. And I can definitely add you to the clan. I've been playing a ton of Pauper, and I'd be happy to add you. So you can also check out our sponsor at OasisGamesSLC.com, OasisCCG.com, and MTGOasis.com. And we would be happy would be happy to hear that you're using them. Don't forget that you can support the podcast directly by going to Patreon.com/CCMTG. Yeah, so at 150, we're at 103 right now. So at 150, we'll release an extra episode to everybody who is a patron.
It's going to be the best stuff too.
Yeah, we're gonna talk way more about, you know, different stuff. I don't know.
Way better stuff.
And once we hit a particular very high end goal, we'll have, you know, limousines, parties, private jets. You know,
what amount is that?
I don't know. It has yet to be determined.
I think that's the $10 million a month stretch goal, right? Is limo parties?
Oh my gosh! The greatest thing. So somebody posted to the Facebook group that if you donate $10,000 or $1,000, you donated $1,000 a month, Casey would come and make you a grilled cheese.
Yeah, and that's, it has to be $10,000 in cash to me, And then plus
10,000?
You know, yeah, that's the price my dignity is worth.
So here's
mine is worth so much less than that. For $1,000 a month, you don't know what I'll come to your house and do for you.
It can't be 10 G's because if you donate 10 G's to the podcast, I'm in charge of that money. And I ain't giving Casey 10 G's to fly out to make you a grilled cheese.
I mean, you give him airfare, right?
I mean, give him way more than airfare.
Well, then, sounds good.
His dignity is worth more than a plane flight.
I mean, I honestly, personally, would price Casey's dignity at around like $7 and maybe
27
cents.
Why would you price out Casey's dignity? You don't,
I mean, he just looks like a 727 cent man, that's all. Look at him, he looks like that.
The price of my dignity is 10K to me, so we'd have to work out a ratio. Like, if that was the sole reason you were making the donation, I'm sure that I could get, you know, like a bigger than average percentage of it. But it would still have to be quite a bit more than I think you're looking to spend.
I think that if I was like, I'm going to fly you out this place and give you $3,000, you'd do it.
No, not that I've drawn this line in the sand at 10,000. There's no way.
$3,000 is so much money.
It's plenty.
To make a grilled cheese sandwich for somebody?
Yeah.
I mean, to compromise my dignity.
Like, they didn't even say naked or like in costume or in makeup. Just
they
a
just
sandwich.
Want they just want your I, grilled cheese, man.
I make grilled cheeses for myself for free.
So does Casey.
Yeah,
I actually
that's what I'm saying.
Don't even do that anymore, man.
He refuses.
I can't even do it.
He can't eat. He can't yield another grilled cheese as long as he lives.
Yeah. I can imagine you looking at the bread and the cheese and just like smashing it with your fist. Nah, I'm not dealing with that.
I actually almost made one like a week ago, and I was like, not worth it.
See what you've done to him, Spencer.
I'm a broken man.
The man can't look at cheese.
Oh, man. So if you want more stuff like this, become a patron, because that's probably what the patron episodes will sound like.
I mean, yeah, I will curse much more.
No.
No, not on the patron episodes?
Nope.
What?
Never.
We'll take a vote.
So they can take a vote.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But I already know that there's some of them that don't like it. And then so because there's even one, we won't do it.
That seems fair.
There you go.
All right.
But yeah, we're barely outside of that goal. Next up, we have where to find us. Manny, where do you live? What's your address?
Where do you live?
On the corner
where
of
do you live?
Drury your Lane. Mom
so where can people find you on Twitter?
Manny_CCMTG.
Casey?
You can find me at CCBloodthirst.
You can find me at Spencer13H on Twitter.
Oh, also, will you guys not like assault John Finkel for his opinions on Peyton Manning, please?
No.
I feel like he's going to not say nice things about our show. Jeez, you guys like just tore into him like a pack of piranhas.
So
God, that was so
aggressive. I didn't
aggressive.
Know that he was going to do that 2 minutes after I did.
Oh, so terrible.
I didn't know that you did it.
Right. We're just smart people.
Hey,
that
remember
have good
how
taste
you were on
things.
Our show? We hate your opinion.
To be fair, Casey actually like almost fought him on the show about football.
That's true. When he said that he was an Eagles fan, I actually told him that I lost respect for him. So I feel the threshold's already been crossed.
Power play.
Yeah.
I don't respect you.
You can find me and my magic opinions on Twitter at Spencer13H.
And football and life and social.
I don't really tweet about football that much. On that account.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I tweet about life a lot on that account. It's like my main Twitter account.
Oh, wait. You know what? Before we wrap up the show, can we talk about the fantasy draft and how Patrick Chapin, like, took a dump on me?
That was taken out of context. That's going to be great when somebody posts that. Just that line. Just that line to the
end. Yeah, I wish everybody would tweet at Chapin and be like, why did you take a dump on Manny?
Or not do that.
Don't
do that.
All right, fine. Don't do it.
You can't see, but I'm winking. But yeah, don't do that.
This is not a video podcast.
Right.
Yeah. Will you bring up those numbers?
Do you really want to see them?
Yeah, I want to see them.
Okay.
I want to let everybody know how close I was to winning.
So we did a fantasy draft for the podcast with some of the people that came to the Google Hangout last week because, you know, that's one of the Patreon goals that has been met. Ben got unfortunate. He had a player who literally got 0 points for him.
Yeah, the old 0-4 drop from Patrick Cox.
Yeah.
I almost had the same thing.
And then he also had somebody who 0-5 constructed. Casey with 114. Casey had some pretty good ones. He had O-Rat with 33 points, Yuya with 30 points, Li Shitian with 24 points. Li Shitian really let you down this time.
Yeah.
Seth Manfield did really well for you with 27 points. David also did really well in this and could have done, you know, if Shahari hadn't, you know, done him in. He had Finkel at 24, Kiwi at 36, Shahar at 6, and Joel Larson at 33, or Joel Larson. Manny actually got 12 additional points, or?
Yeah, it would be 12.
So he actually would be at...
Did I win?
119. He had had even Flock before top 8, LSV before top 8, Raptor with 27 points, and then Patrick Chapin with 3 points.
So, yeah, keep going. Just finish it off. But, I mean, if he had won, you know, just a handful of matches, maybe even just half.
If he just day 2 and had a reasonable day 2 record.
I would have been fine.
Because, like, let's see. He ended up with how many?
3 points.
3.
No, Manny. 3 points.
Ended up with 119.
And so you beat him by, what?
14 points.
14 points, yeah. If Patrick Chapin had won 6 matches total.
No, 5. 15.
Well,
if I had
you would 5 tie- more
oh,
matches.
Oh, 5 more, I meant. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So if he'd gone, yeah, even 4-4 and then won a match on day 2.
Really did me dirty.
Yeah. West, he had Reed Duke with 33 points, Ben Rubin with 10 points, Shouto with 33 points, and Austin Geltz with 6 points.
Good job, Austin. We're proud of you. I am proud of you.
I had PV, Alexander Hain, Ben Starkin, Siggy. All of them had at least 33 points.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Why did you want to bring this up? If you just wanted to talk crap on Patrick Chapin.
I mean, I feel like he got me. I was like so sure. I was like, oh, he's such a good player. He's going to do great. Not so.
My players all did great.
Like, I mean, yeah, like... Yvonne Flock, LSV, like off of that strength alone. Like,
you were actually, so far you were ahead. Actually literally the only person that picked copy players.
Yeah. You were really boom and bust.
Boom.
Yeah. I'm actually surprised. I actually thought that I had this one locked up. The fact that it got away from me was pretty surprising. But
you thought that Orat, Yuya, and Li Shitan would just do it for you?
Yeah. I mean, Yuya's he's hot.
Seth,
he's
Seth
hot
Manfield
fire.
Top 8 of the last Modern Pro Tour, and he's the world champion. Says Modern is his favorite format. Like,
yeah,
I definitely expected, you know, more than the 20-point range out of those two guys.
Congratulations, Spencer.
Oh, thank you. Nobody congratulated me. what were we talking about? You just wanted to
that
talk.
That was it. I just wanted
to talk about Patrick Chapin. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Spencer13H. You can find me on Facebook at Spencer Stephen Howland. You can find the podcast at CCMTG. ConstructedCriticism.com, MTGcast.com, OasisGamesSLC.com, and, you know, YouTube.com. So
YouTube.com. That's a big one.
Yeah. You know, don't forget to, you know, tweet at us anytime you want. We're happy to always answer. And join the Facebook group at Constructive Criticism Facebook group on Facebook. Next up, we have shout-outs. I have a shout-out to Matt Kling and Michael from our team. These guys are beasts when it comes to Magic, and I'm really proud to be able to play with them.
Yeah, my shout-out is to Wes Singleton. Thank you so much for playing with me and giving me advice and all sorts of teammate stuff. Thank you.
Oh, I'm surprised by that shout-out.
Why?
You wanted to punch him in the face a week ago.
Oh, yeah, but that's because he was belittling me. It has nothing to do with his with him helping me with Magic or him being better. Just, I like to be talked to like I'm 4.
Oh, good. I'm glad that you guys are getting along.
Yeah.
It makes me happy. Hashtag Would That Be Good? Let's do this. Hashtag Would That Be Good is our Twitter outreach program. Every week on Twitter, we read all of the tweets from Hashtag Would That Be Good. Unless they are inappropriate, we want to read those. But let's start. We're going to go back in time to February 1st. And we'll start with the one. We already read this one.
Yeah.
So we'll start with. So some people already figured it out, but Casey Bloodworth will be a permanent member of the show again. So welcome back, Casey.
Thank you.
Yay.
That was so disingenuous.
Yay.
Wow.
Manny doesn't want you here.
Thanks a lot, Manny.
I love you, Casey.
I love you too, man.
Yeah, so for those who figured it out, you were right. We just wanted to see if he jived with Manny, because Manny was the newest member, and we weren't going to like make Manny uncomfortable by bringing back an old host if they didn't get along like on the show. That wasn't going to happen. There was too many host changes, and so we were trying Casey out, and if Manny liked it, I let him stay. So you can thank Manny for being on the show.
Thanks.
You're very welcome.
Let's see here. So Manny said he started playing, stayed up way too late playing Magic. And Matt said he did the same thing, but playing Fallout 4. Hashtag, would that be good? I haven't played Fallout.
I haven't played it either.
I've only played the first two.
Yeah, I've been stuck on The Witcher 3. That's what I've been playing.
All right. Successfully transformed my Force of Will collection into Modern Lantern Control MTG deck. Hashtag, would that be good? Hashtag, milling is fun. Hashtag, sit there and watch me play. I actually think that that deck's really good against Eldrazi.
I have one question for you, Jason. Why do you hate everything in life?
He doesn't. He likes playing Magic.
Yeah, yeah. He loves it. I bet he loves playing Magic. He just doesn't like anyone else to have fun while he plays them.
That deck is like pretty sadistic. Yeah, I actually told him
it's cruel.
Good is relative, right? Like it's.
No, I think it's a good deck. I do think it's a good deck. I just think you gotta be, yeah, a real sadistic fella to like do that to people.
I like this conversation. Good is relative. Sometimes Modern is about having fun. Fun is also relative.
It's true.
Turn one, Goblin Guide. Turn two, Burning Tramissary, Burning Tramissary, Burning Tramissary, Burning Tramissary, Goblin Bushwhacker 16, hashtag, would that be good?
Joey, yeah. I believe they call that like a, like, that's like sinking the ball from the half court, right? You're just like, boom.
That's way more impressive than that.
In your face.
Yeah. But that's not even like the best thing you can do with four Burning Tramissaries on turn two, right? Like, sometimes you can play a Garrett Caller of the Pack and then put in a World Spine Worm.
That's true.
And sometimes you do that when you're playing against Owen Turtenwald, and he gives you a priceless expression.
Did that happen for you?
Not for me.
It happened to Owen Turtenwald.
Oh, I see.
It was at a GP. His opponent goes turn one, Llanowar Elf, or Elvish Mystic. Yeah. Turn two, Burning Tree, Burning Tree, Burning Tree, Burning Tree. Okay. Activate Nykthos.
Oh,
put Garrick into play. Yeah. Minus Garrick. Put World Swine Ward into play. Go.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. And then... Owen looked at his land.
Conceded.
Yeah. Yeah. So that happened.
Yucky.
I heard the opening for... there's an opening. They are opening a grilled cheese emporium out in Troy, Michigan. Y'all coming to GP Detroit. Casey said...
When is GP Detroit?
It's later this year. I want to go, but I also don't want to go. It's like one of the GPs that I wanted to go to, but I don't think I'm going to be able to.
Oh, I've never been that far north. That would be fun.
All right. I agree. Yeah. If I could go, I would totally go.
Yeah, that would be a fun one to go to. I haven't really been out to that part of the country much, so I would like to go.
This turned into a long conversation about Casey's hatred of the grilled cheese joke. And then it culminated.
Paul's my favorite.
In Kraft Inc. tweeting... We would like to remove our offer of $3 million per year sponsorship for at CCMTG. Hashtag, would that be good? When you go to the Kraft Inc. page, its page says, Kraft was once a staple for the man and myth Casey Bloodworth. However, at this time, we have ended our relationship with Mr. Bloodworth. Do you think that Casey made this account?
He did. He must have. Who else would Casey, take the time and effort into that?
Casey, did you make this account?
No. Absolutely not.
Yeah, he's all red. And he has a huge smile on his face like
it
he's a liar.
It did make me laugh, but I did not make this. Nor would I, because why would I want more of this?
It is usually correct to send all of if it's, not most of the
is
spells.
It, is it? It's oh, like is a question.
It? Is it? Well, that's a much better thing. Is it always correct? Is it usually correct to... You read this.
Is it usually correct to send all, if not most, burn spells to face in game one playing Modern Burn? What about games two or three? And back to you, I think it's almost completely matchup dependent and draw dependent. Like, sometimes your draw is going to be a little bit too slow. Sometimes they're going to have creatures that you'll need to bolt.
Yeah, like, I mean, if they have a turn one Delver and you're on, you know, on the draw, that Delver is going to kill you.
Right. Young Pyromancer even more so, right? Like, there's plenty of... If you have a chance to kill a Tarmogoyf, like, if they play, like, a Squire Goyf, kill it, because you probably can't race it.
Yeah, it's good EV, for sure.
I've never heard it called Squire Goyf before.
That's what I always call
it. Yeah, I haven't heard it either, but I like it.
There's no black and white answer to this, unfortunately. You just really have to look at the pacing of the game.
I think it's important just, like, how important is the thing in front of me, and is it going to beat me? And then you make your decision.
Yeah, I mean, if you have,
like, but you should always send the lava spikes to the face because that's the only place they can go.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a grip of burn spells and they have a 5/5 and you're at, you know, 17 life for some reason, like, and you can do it in less than those turns, like, by all means, send it at them.
Yeah, but you also have to be aware that sometimes they'll have a second Reality Smasher.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to be conscious of like what they could have and maximize your chances. But
with Reality Smashers, you're not doing anything.
Yeah, like, that's true. Yeah, you're not burning those out.
Nope.
You're not going to 4-for-1 yourself for that.
Cavern of Souls in the Eldrazi deck is so sweet. Hashtag PT Oath of Gatewatch. Hashtag with the good. I've been playing that in my Eldrazi deck in Modern. Beating Lantern Control deck 1-0 with Time Warp while judges tried not to laugh. Wait, what? So he beat it in turns with Time Warp? Because yeah. That would be funny. Wait, no, would that even work?
Possibly. So, like, you could end up in a situation where you take all the extra turns, because there's 5 turns. It doesn't matter who takes them.
Oh, that would be funny.
That
would make me so happy.
Yeah, I would also like that.
I appreciate that it was against a Lantern Control player, especially.
I hope that's what happened, Scotty. Please tweet at us and let us know that that's what happened. Because that would be the best if you took all 5 of the additional extra turns in one.
Yeah. Somebody did that at a local tournament here with Ralzeric back when that was in Standard. Like 5 turns. Okay, ultimate Ralzeric. And then they took all the turns in one.
So great. Michael Jenkins says, I think we need to go do it with a Modern ban list or replace it with a restricted list. I actually think we've all given our opinions pretty strongly on this podcast on that. We don't actually normally talk about this kind of stuff, so I hope you guys enjoyed the treat.
Yeah. Also, to answer this one specifically, though, I don't think that I don't think that does what you want it to do. Restricted list, like in Vintage, it makes games of Vintage much swingier than they are in Legacy, because like sometimes I draw my recall and sometimes you draw nothing, and then I just crush your face in. And you don't necessarily want the games to be more lopsided, which is what a restricted list does.
All right, yeah. I don't know what you would be restricting. What would you want restricted? Like what?
Wild Nacatl.
Splinter Twin.
Both of you, shut up. Blazing Shut your mouth. I could see that, though. What? I mean, one? That's fine. Probably fine.
Maybe fine.
Eldrazi Sky Spawner.
Why would you restrict that? That's like, that card's fine.
Primeval Titan.
Deliver Secrets.
All right, I don't like this game anymore. I don't know what's happening, but you're both giving me really weird, creepy looks.
You asked what we'd restrict.
Okay. What you would get rid of.
Yeah.
Or make one of.
I'll leave from Cairo.
Mental Misstep. Elite Vanguard. Hero Blade Hold.
So, like, just things that Lotus didn't matter?
Definitely Hero Blade Hold.
That's like your least favorite card in all of Modern, isn't it?
Of all of Magic.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Thalia.
That one's fine.
Vryn's Pegasus. What is that card called?
Vryn Wingmare.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that one.
Ghost Quarter.
You guys. No, what?
No, you don't want
Tectonic
that.
Edge.
Oh, I feel like that's aggressive.
Yeah.
Eye of Ugin.
I like my Elite Vanguard one. Watch Wolf. Can we stop?
Yeah, can you stop?
Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll see you all next week.
See you guys.